is Channel 2. The Business Bunker with Paul Andrews.
Hey, good afternoon. Welcome to the Business Bunker Show here on channelradio.co.uk/2 in association with bizradio.co.uk. It's Tuesday, the 5th of November. Where are you, Guido, when we need you? Say no more.
Behind you.
Yeah. You're listening to me, Paul Andrews, and my stonkingly gorgeous co-host, Jill Serkin.
Hello, Mr. Andrews.
Hello.
Yeah, how are you?
I'm all right. How are you?
Are you bonfiring tonight?
No, I'm not. I was making reference to that glorious heap of nonsense going on in Westminster.
Oh, that Guido.
Yeah, and that Guido is sorely missed at the moment. We need his political insight, I think.
Oh, you've lost me because I know nothing about it. Was it, tell me.
What?
Guido.
Guido Fawkes.
Guy Fawkes.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, the Guido Fawkes.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Well, that's what I meant.
Yeah, yeah.
Are you having a bonfire?
Yeah, not in Parliament, no.
That would be treason.
Honest officer, I'm not.
That would be treason.
Yeah.
But you do have some treasons that needs to come down, and don't
you? Oh, do you see what she did there? Yeah, I've got some trees.
Little roots coming up.
Yeah, we've had to fell some trees, sadly. I have planted some new ones, by the way.
I've always wanted to know a tree fella.
You're so funny.
What are you planting? Something that's got less roots?
Funnily enough, I've got trees all around my house. I've got hundreds of them. And some of them are too near the swimming pool, and the roots have grown through the swimming pool, which is a nuisance. Yeah. And we were looking at what to do, and I got a specialist come and look, and he went, those trees are diseased anyway, and they need to come down. So we felled the trees, and I'm now waiting for the roots to rot, the stump to rot out, so I can pull the thing out.
What type of trees?
There were two types there. Unfortunately, one was a gorgeous walnut tree.
Oh, I love a walnut.
But that was the one that was mainly diseased. And then the other trees were, there's a willow tree and
and I love a willow
tree. Willow trees have very shallow, wide roots.
Yeah, yeah.
So they can spread, that means, maybe.
At the equivalent width of the height of the tree, apparently.
Yeah, exactly.
So really wide.
I love a willow.
I've got the other side of my garden, I've got some 100-foot pine trees, and there's like 30 of them all the way down the side.
Big fat squirrel.
And the arboretum guy, whatever you call him, lumberjack.
Arborist.
That's him, arborist, yeah. He was saying that some of those can take out 100 gallons of water a day out of the ground each, yeah.
Which is bizarre, because here we are planting trees in Africa and things to help with global warming.
Yeah, yeah.
But if
it's going to suck away in areas of drought...
But that's the whole point about a tree, is its roots go and find the water, that you would never have found. And some of the roots can go miles to get to water.
I guess...
Anyway, you asked me what I've replanted. I planted a new walnut tree and I planted some plum trees.
Nice. Lovely. So nice fruit trees. I'll be around. I love plums.
Yeah, yeah.
I stand and eat just a whole tree sometimes.
I've seen you. Yeah. But, strip the bark off, bit of ketchup on it, and she's off. Worse than a woodpecker, she is.
But going back to the African trees, I guess that you would plant in Africa, Robert, you're looking knowledgeable, something like a eucalyptus or something that doesn't need a lot of water.
It all depends where you are, but you get a lot of thorn trees, acacia trees.
That don't need a lot of water.
Yeah.
I knew that as well. But eucalyptus? Eucalyptus.
No, that's eucalyptus. It's more Australian, isn't it?
Yeah, but they have them. There's one in Whitstable.
I've got a eucalyptus tree. I had two.
Have you?
Yeah. The trouble with eucalyptus, I had two in my garden, two eucalyptus trees, and the trouble is they're very soft wood, and mine had grown really tall, and in the wind they actually whipped. They were really dangerous because they're quite soft wood.
Well, when you next harbour your eucalyptus tree, I'm a big fan of eucalyptus oil to clean my toilets with. That's all I use, eucalyptus
As
oil.
As you do.
Yeah.
So I'll send you a tree then.
Yeah, squash me a little bit out. Who might our sponsor be today?
Right, I'm glad you asked because I was trying to get round to that. I want to say a huge thank you to this week's show sponsor, who are the lovely folks at CyberFort Group. CyberFort Group are a cyber protection company. Advise, detect and defend. You can find out more about them by following them on the Twitter at CyberFort Group, or you can look at their website, which is cyberfortgroup.com. Do check them out. Advise, defend. Thank you.
Sounds like a very good idea because we're all getting hacked and things at the moment, aren't we?
We've got a lot of tweets coming in, which is good. Yeah. If you'd like to get a shout out on the show, tweet me at VanillaWeb, include the hashtag #BeBunker and we will give you a shout out. If you want to call us, you can on 01233 220035. Ashford 01233 220035, or you can email me at hello@bizradio.co.uk. But the easiest way to interact with us live on air is to tweet me at Vanilla Web and use the hashtag #BeBunker, otherwise we'll never find you. What you got?
There's a new networking group which is with the lovely Mirage Designs.
Yep. Beth Rossiter.
Yeah, the lovely Bethany. And she says it's in Whitstable and it's the Grapevine Network, and it's for anyone involved in property or homes. And the next event is the 21st of November, and you can find details of it. And then there's a link, which is a Buffley link. So I can't tell you. If I click on it, maybe I'll be able to tell. Might be Eventbrite or something. Oh, very apt. The link goes to kentbusinessradio.co.uk.
Yeah.
So you can click on that and you can find out business events.
Yep.
And you'll find all about that.
All of the business events in Kent are listed there, and Grapevine is one of those.
Very good. And the lovely Tracy Ferguson, she is on the Twitter at Tazy64. And she says hello and she'll listen again because she's at work, but she's looking forward to the replay.
Fantastic. Thank you. If you will, I'd like you to indulge me for a minute. I just want to read something that my youngest son sent me, yeah. Which is a bit important to us, if you mind. After a 3-year-long battle with vascular dementia, my amazing grandmother, Enid, sadly passed away in July 2019, having celebrated her 93rd birthday a few months earlier. Despite suffering numerous strokes and heart attacks, she continued to live a very full life, focused on friends and family. She was not only a wife and a mother to 4 children and a grandmother to myself and 5 other grandchildren, she was also a great-grandmother and a great-great-grandmother to the latest addition to her much-loved and growing brood. The ravages of dementia began to take their toll with regular falls and broken bones. She struggled with her failing memory and increasing feelings of confusion, vulnerability and paranoia. But whenever I spent time with her and asked her how she was, her reply was always the same. Well, you know, Stu, mustn't grumble. She demonstrated such strength, resilience and dignity in the face of all of life's challenges, and I'm immensely proud of her and her approach to adversity. It's for this reason that I have chosen to take on my own challenge and run the London Marathon on behalf of Alzheimer's Research UK in her memory and in support of others who suffer with Alzheimer's and dementia and the friends and families who in turn support them. Dementia destroys not only the life of the individual sufferer, but puts huge strain on the lives of their carers. If you could give this a shout out, please. Much love, Stu. That's Stu Andrews. And Stu will also, and this is amazing, this is even more amazing than running the London Marathon, and I'm saying this as his dad, he's going to give up alcohol for 6 months as well.
Wow.
Now that is something, right? If you'd like to support Stu in any way you want in any of those endeavours, it would be much appreciated, and you can do that by going to his justgiving.com fundraising page, justgiving.com/fundraising/Stuart-Andrews1111. Thank you very much.
Brilliant. That's a great cause. And as we know, dementia is in the news a lot at the moment. Suddenly, I don't know whether they've suddenly started actually, investigating it or looking into it, but suddenly it's really in the news, isn't it?
Yeah. It's endemic. It's not just something that's suffered by older people, although we tend to relate it to older people. But, of course, as the population lives longer, we suffer from more of those types of things.
Yeah, of course, because it's quite... I mean, my mum's 89 now, but, you know, people are living longer, aren't they?
Exactly.
Which is... I mean, she's like a 60-year-old.
Yeah. I mean, I'm 64. I didn't expect to get this far.
You don't look it.
Thank you. You were right, Robert. Thank you.
talking of... the elderly or people that need health things.
Were we?
We've had.
I thought we were talking about me.
No, we've had something in about health, which I think is interesting. Mm. It's about patients on the NHS waiting list. So they say looking for first-class treatment for a health problem. Patients on NHS waiting lists in Kent have been given tips, a guide for choosing to self-pay for treatment. And the booklet is aimed at people who need help and don't want to wait, and those who don't have private medical insurance or a policy that won't cover their treatment, because the policies do try and wheedle out of it, don't they? This guide is produced by Benenden Hospital. It includes handy hints on looking for independent ratings from professional bodies such as the CQC and asking about hospital-acquired infection rates. Very, very
The CQC is a quality care commission.
Yeah. Thank you.
That's right.
Patients are encouraged to investigate what is included in the pricing, whether it's aftercare or follow-up appointments, discretion or add-on costs, and if finance options are available to spread the cost. It's important to ask how long the treatment process will take from the initial consultation to recovery if looking to avoid a waiting list. And some treatments require more than one consultation, so there may be a compulsory and best practice cooling off period for procedures such as weight loss and breast reduction, Paul. Other tips include...
Why are you looking at me like that? She's looking at me.
Considering the range of treatment on offer, first impressions when you visit the hospital or make an inquiry, is the treatment centred around you as a patient, reading a patient review? So to find out more, you can call the Benenden Hospital on... give me your number now, so if you get your pen. There's also a website... So it's 01580-238-459 or the website benendenhospital.org.uk and with a little forward slash choosing your hospital, and you can download your free guide there. That's very, very good.
Fantastic. It's a lovely place. Have you been?
No, it's gorgeous. I went to Kim's recently.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Bursted, yeah.
You know I had a thyroid problem.
I'd never heard, Jules. I'm staggered. Why have you never told me? In all the years I've known you, I never knew you had a thyroid problem.
I was juggling my thyroid with my new medication, which I have to pay for from America. Comes from a pig's gland. And I decided to fork out £200 to go and see a top guy in Kim's. And he changed my medication. And on day four of the medication, I thought I was dying of a heart attack. I couldn't move. My ribs were killing me. I was like an elephant on my chest. And I lay down on the sofa and slept. And I thought, oh, I better email him. So I emailed his PA and said, I'm really not feeling well. And he wrote back, stop the medication I put you on and come and see me again. I thought, another £200 and you've nearly killed me. So this is really useful because, you know, how often do you go and see a private consultant? How often do you go back if something goes wrong? Very, very apt.
It doesn't say that in that email, but I happen to know. You can actually join Benenden for £10 a month.
Really? What, the hockey club? Or?
No, no, the hospital.
£10 a month, and then what do you do?
That's it.
Then you don't have to...
It's £10 a month, you don't have to pay.
Really? Are you a member, Jenny? Yeah, this is family. Jenny Rogers, jewellery designer and maker.
Yeah, three of us. I think it's less than £30 a month.
So but supposing you join in March and then you need a procedure in...
No, there's a six-month moratorium. When you join, you can't use any of the services for 6 months, and then after that, you can use them all.
Did you know about this, Alan Saunders?
No, I'd never heard of that.
Well, it's worth coming on the Business Bunker radio show.
You find out all kinds on here. Yeah.
Did you know about this, Robert?
I didn't know. Well, I have heard of Benenden Hospital. I know
I've
low
heard.
Low cost, but I didn't know you could join.
No.
There's to be fair, I'm doing an advert broadcast for them now. You need to actually speak to them. They don't cover everything for that. You know, they only have certain things that they cover. But one of them is GP services. So you have a private GP and there are certain things that they do cover and they are all covered within the 10 quid a month.
Because I've got private medical insurance in my work. But, I mean, they, you know, thyroid, they say, no, it's an ongoing condition. Well, so there's no point.
I think you have to differentiate these things, Medical insurance is one thing. This is a membership scheme. It's not an insurance scheme. It's a membership scheme. With an insurance scheme, you have to get ill, get treated, and then make a claim, and then they find a small print that says they don't have to pay. Which we've just had with a pet insurance company, by the way.
Which insurance company? Can you
I need to get the name right because I'm going to do a whole big number on them in a week or so about how appalling they've been.
Is this the dog or the horse?
No, it was the insurance company. It was the dog,
Oh, was it? I love the dog.
So you could do that on insurance generally, though, couldn't you? Motorbike insurance. I've just had a horrific story.
Do you know what, Robert? And I've talked to insurance people about this, and they all shake their head and go, I don't know. I had a Porsche, okay? Get me, whatever. I've just sold it, as it happened, because I got annoyed, right? I had a Porsche. And the insurance came through to renew it, from Hastings Direct, who I was insured with. And it went from £500 to £680. Why? I haven't made a claim. I haven't done anything. So I ring them up and I go, okay, I'll play the game. Can you get me something off? And they went, no, that's it. it's that or nothing. And I went, well, I'm not paying that. And they went, well, sorry, we can't put it down anymore. 680 quid or nothing. So I cancelled the policy. I went into comparethemarket.com, and the first two that came up were £300 and £400. Guess who they were with?
Hastings Direct.
Hastings Direct. It's just mad, yeah, isn't it? It's
they
just
discount
mad.
It for the first year and hope that you
just carry on.
Yeah.
But that's what they do. There's no customer loyalty, is there?
It's absolutely crazy. Yeah. It's just really stupid.
Well, I had my, what's it called, catalytic converter stolen. I've got a really old Honda, and they love the Hondas, apparently. It takes 90 seconds to nick a catalytic converter.
And she's got four if you want to.
It's absolutely rife throughout the UK. And it's, well, you probably know, Alan Saunders, that I think is it titanium or some amazing, expensive, or plutonium or something, whatever they use, something that they can get a lot of money from, the scrap things. Yeah. And my insurance wanted to scrap my car. It's an old car. And my excess was 350. And the car's not worth 350, but to me, the car is worth everything. Mm-hmm. It's my dog car, my old, you know, car that I've had for years. It's done 230,000 miles, and it's amazing. Hondas are great. And I had, honestly, about 6 weeks battle to get that done. And in the end, they put on sort of a copy of the catalytic, not even a proper one. But it was stressful.
Yeah.
And they could come and nick another one tomorrow.
You need a sticker on your car to say, this isn't a Honda catalytic. Catalytic converter.
This is plastic.
Yes.
Yeah. I wonder whether you melt down metals. We'll find out later. Mm. Yeah, we will, won't we, Paul?
Cool. Yeah, absolutely. So that's our little moan over for today.
Yeah, quite a big moan, really.
Yeah, we had quite a big moan there, but it's good. We started on healthcare and ended up with car insurance. Yeah. So that just shows you how well scripted this show is and how it's all managed and put together so well.
We started off on tree roots, actually.
We did. That is true.
And walnuts.
I'm going to move on to something completely different now because I've got a tweet from Godfather Tailoring.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
What do they do? Tailoring.
Well, you've got a choice of two things there. They can either offer Godfathering services or they can make you a suit.
Oh, it's suits. Do they do ladies tailoring?
I haven't read the tweet yet, have I?
When
I've read the tweet, we'll know, won't
let
we?
Me know.
Yeah. It says Vanilla Web. I've just had a WhatsApp from Amanda. She says, "Don't mention the insurance company. I'm on the phone to them at the moment. They're apologising right now."
Oh. No, we've mentioned them. It's too late.
Yeah.
Oh, Amanda, he's got cake, by the way.
Oh, you rat! Oh, that's not good, is it?
Yeah. He finished the sauerkraut.
Yeah.
The sauerkraut was very good for his gut. But the cake...
the only problem we've got with that is that she's on the phone at the moment to the insurance company, so she's not listening.
She might listen again.
Yeah. Godfather Tailoring, a Vanilla Web business bunker. Hello from Godfather Tailoring. We're a bespoke personal tailoring service at your home, office, or wherever you want us to be. No more shopping around, no more ill-fitting suits, thousands of fabrics and linings made exclusively for you. So, yes, they make men's suits, and you can find out about them by going to their website, which is godfathertailoring.com, or you can follow them on the Twitter at Godfather Taylor.
Okay.
That's good.
It's really good, yeah.
Yeah. What you got?
I've got something, yeah. Maidstone Borough Council, MBC, they call themselves, has published details of its call for sites submissions today. Mm-hmm. And the call for sites exercise is a key piece of evidence that's used in preparation of Maidstone Council's local plan review. They like their little letters and they call that LPR.
Yeah.
And it's...
That'll be local plan review, won't
it? Yeah. And is an open request for information about land which landowners consider may have potential for future development in the borough, including new housing, business development, retail and leisure. And the submissions with MBC... received through call for sites are expressions of interest by landowners and have provided the council a list to select sites that are potentially suitable to meet future development needs. The council will work to determine the suitability of each site and which ones should be included in the local plan review, LPR, which will be subject to public consultations and an independent examination by an inspector appointed by the Secretary of State. The call for sites details will be used alongside other evidence and assessments to inform the local plan review, LPR. The next public consultation on the LPR will outline preferred approaches to manage future development and associated requirements and is scheduled to take place in 2020. Now you can find out details of this by going to maidstone.gov.uk with a little / call for sites. That's obviously S-I-T-E-S. And there'll be a map there containing all submission and information surrounding frequently asked questions. Very interesting, because we're desperate for housing, aren't we?
We certainly are. There's lots of building work going on, but it's still not enough. I've had a tweet here from Dan Marsden, who says he's holding a one-day LinkedIn for New Business workshop on the 14th of November at the Cobtree Manor Golf Course, Maidstone. That's on Bluebell Hill. It's 95 quid, which includes full lunch and refreshments, and the places are limited to an absolute maximum of 20 people. If you want to learn out how to find and cultivate new clients, don't miss it. And you can find out by going to his website, which is morebusinessplease.com. Morebusinessplease.com.
The Fruitworks Community Workshop is expanding.
We are.
They have easy access, no long-term commitment, hot desk, fixed desk and small private offices space available in the expanded Fruitworks in Canterbury. You can email hello@fruitworks.co for details and see the website fruitworks.co. And that's right in the centre of Canterbury.
It is, and they're nicely, newly refurbished. We finished them at the weekend.
It does look lovely. I often wander past, and it looks mm-hmm. very nice.
Yep. So we've now got office units there. We've got 6 office units.
Apply for the Ashford Business Awards. They're coming up. If you're in Ashford, Folkestone, Deal, Dover, Hythe or Romney Marsh, apply for the Ashford Business Awards. There's a free to apply with a quick and easy form. And the awards dinner and presentations are on Wednesday the 20th of November at the Ashford International Hotel. Go to businessawardskent.co.uk. As we all know, as business owners, an award is great for publicity and PR for your company.
Absolutely. Looking forward to that. I shall be... I'm hosting the awards, yeah.
Commandeering.
I am commandeering. I'm hosting the awards.
I met you at that last year, didn't I?
You did, yeah. I don't know where you got a ticket from.
I was invited.
Who by?
Yeah, it was... The telephone people, you know.
Oh, Agilis.
Agilis. I was on the Agilis table.
Were you?
Yeah.
You snuck a free ticket, did you?
Yeah. And I didn't take my new husband. I took Rebecca Nutt.
Your drinking buddy. Yeah.
Help bridge the gap between schools and businesses. In Kent, we offer a practical way for businesses to engage with education through the Skills 3030 programme. So in this 2-hour event, businesses hear from a local authority and relevant recruitment groups, while students take part in an employment-related workshop. Both groups then get together for facilitated speed networking. So the programme is, for business, 1-hour networking and presentations, the FSB, Federation of Small Business Lobbying Update, Kent Supported Employment Team, the Enterprise Advisor Network, and then Paul Andrews will be there talking about skills and employment. And then for students, there's a 1-hour workshop, how to present yourself at work, how to stand out in your new job, and how to use LinkedIn to your advantage. And there'll be a 40-minute facilitated networking of the two, the businesses and the students, with 10 minutes of free networking. So for information on that, you can contact Alison Palmer, who's the FSB. What is she?
The business manager for Kent and Medway.
Her email is alison.palmer@fsb.org.uk.
Our next event is on the 20th of November at the Longfield Academy at Dartford, starting at 9 o'clock. The whole thing is free. Do come along. It's great fun and really interesting. And it's your chance as a business to influence education and young people and to inform them about what we need from them in the world of work.
And you can go to kentbusinessradio.co.uk /30-30 to find out more.
Absolutely. It tells you all about the programme and then lists all the up-and-coming events. We've already got 4 schools lined up for 2020 as well. Right, we're going to play a bit of cheesy tunage. You need to tell me what it is and then you need to tell me what the link is.
Pink Floyd,
yep.
Another Brick in the Wall. We don't need your education. So, education. That's the link.
No.
Brick. Climbing walls.
Climbing.
It's Robert.
Yeah.
We don't need no thought control.
flexible training solutions for the glass, glazing and wider construction industries. fitfortrade.co.uk for occupational compliance and peace of mind.
Rift Accounting, your small business bodyguard. Riftaccounting.com.
My Careers Options gives real career choices for your child's brighter future. Through simple, fun questions and puzzles, your child will discover careers they can do, want to do, and which suit who they are. My Careers Options unique careers report also supports the school to help your child make informed decisions about their future education and careers choices. 50% off today with code BBUNKER50 at mycareersoptions.co.uk. That's BBUNKER50 at mycareersoptions.co.uk.
Grow your business with Kent's Best Business Events. Visit bestbusinessevents.co.uk.
Jobsinkent.com, the quick and simple way to advertise your job vacancies in Kent, with prices from just £99 per job per month. Visit Kent's largest job site, jobsinkent.com.
This is Channel 2.
The Business Bunker with Paul Andrews.
The Floyd there, breaking all.
I love that bit. It's a bit Monty Python-esque, isn't it?
At the end, yeah. You can't have your pudding.
Yeah. Right, I mean, I could listen to Pink Lloyd all day, couldn't you? Yeah. Pink Floyd, I mean, Lloyd. Who's
Pink Lloyd?
I just renamed them.
Pink Floyd, yeah.
That takes me back.
Absolutely. Fantastic. I just want to catch up on a couple of tweets that I've had in about things we were talking about. So we've had Oregon Training, Business Bunker, Villanueva, great info on Benenden Hospital. Who knew? Hashtag healthcare.
Yeah, exactly.
Yep. There you go. I ought to demand some kind of...
We'll get your leg done while you're commission. At it, you know.
Get my leg done.
Because you had that accident. You're a bit peg leg, aren't you, at the moment?
Yeah. Do you know what? It's a year. A year ago, 2 weeks ago, and my leg still hasn't... I ought to go to the doctors, really, don't I?
I think you should, really. But nip into Benenden.
Climbing as part of your rehabilitation, Paul.
Good idea, Robert.
I'd love to, but at my weight, I'd never get off the ground, would I? I'd need to rehabilitate first and then do some climbing.
Well, I noticed that Alan Saunders has only eaten a petite amount of his cake. We polished out.
He's a whippet, isn't he? He's a racing snake. Yeah. You can see he is.
Yeah. He's had like a little pixie bite and then left it. I mean, who leaves it? It's like my husband. He'll eat half a banana or half a biscuit.
You can't do that.
Who eats half a biscuit?
You can't do that. It's not allowed.
I find it annoying when people leave half a cake.
Yeah, absolutely.
You're welcome to it, Jules.
I will. I'll have it in a minute.
I've also had a tweet from the Jenner Group. Who say Team Jenner are absolutely delighted to be announced as a finalist for the Kent Ashford Awards in the construction category.
Oh, right.
So congratulations, well done. Yeah.
How many categories are there?
It's about 10, I think, if I remember rightly.
One for our guests today, any categories? They've got a creative one or a climbing one or athletic one?
There's all kinds of categories. There's small business of the year. There's medium business of the year. There's new business startup. There's female entrepreneur of the year. There's customer award of the year. There's lots of different ones.
There you go.
But they're in Ashford.
Well, you're not very far, Jenny, are you from Ashford? Where are you?
Well, if you're in Ashford, that's fine.
Yeah. I know they're near because none of them blinked when I said come in.
Yeah, Robert's in Maidstone.
Oh, well, I can't help that. Sorry about that.
Well, there's Maidstone Awards.
In the borough of Ashford, is there?
Yeah, there's a Maidstone Award as well.
It's probably worth moving, actually, Robert. I mean,
No, there's a Maidstone Award too.
Good.
Anyway, so Jenner Group are one of the finalists. So if you're a finalist in any of the categories in the Ashford Awards, do let us know. We're going to talk to Robert in a moment. Have you got anything you need to do urgently?
No, I want to talk to Robert, but I did bring you this in.
Where is it?
Catch it. Go on.
It is. Oh, it's a licorice choc log.
Yeah, because you do like licorice.
I do like licorice,
I thought we'd get into this sort of Christmas spirit because we've got some creative guests on.
Is this my Chrissy present?
Yeah, that's your main present.
So hold on. It's a long, about 8 inches, 9 inches long, and it's a licorice stick with chocolate through the middle.
Yeah, it's quite unusual, isn't
and
it?
And you've given me this on air just so that Amanda can tell me off when I get home.
Well, the licorice isn't fattening. Just lick the chocolate off. That's fine.
the licorice isn't fattening, but we won't mention the chocolate.
No.
Yeah, okay.
But I just thought it's quite Christmassy, isn't it? And I thought we've got these artisans on, you know, Jenny Rogers with her beautiful jewellery.
Yeah.
And then we've got Alan Saunders with his amazing sculpture. And then the climbing wall, Robert, you see. Yeah. Robert Woods.
And of course, they're all...
Would make a nice Christmas present. You could buy somebody a voucher.
Yeah. And they're all highly linked to licorice.
Yeah. Well, chocolate log. Xmas. You see? It's very
thin.
I'll have you know I've
tenuous,
carried that all the way from Canada.
Well, thank you, darling. As you know, quite rightly, because you always are my main source of licorice. I am, in fact, a licorice freak, and I do like
me
licorice
too.
As well. Yeah,
really?
I love licorice.
I really don't like it.
Oh, yeah. And I like...
You either do or you don't. It's a Marmite thing.
So do you like...
this is Robert.
Is it, the French pastis.
Oh, yeah, the drink, pastis.
No, not
which
really,
is
no.
aniseed, isn't it?
That's yeah. drink it. But
yeah,
really.
Ricard or whatever.
Does anybody like pastis?
Well, the French do.
Yeah, yeah.
Do you? Alan likes pastis. Yeah. I mean, I'm not... I'll drink it.
It's aniseed, isn't it? Which is the same taste as licorice. I particularly like Dutch licorice, which is hard, salted licorice.
Mm. I'm going to Amsterdam on Friday. Should I get you some?
Yeah, you got me some before, actually.
Did I?
Yeah. Yes, salted licorice.
What was the tea I got you recently?
What?
The tea I got you recently.
The tea for my birthday.
Yeah, was that licorice?
It did have licorice in it. I tell you what, that's gorgeous.
Have you finished it?
A special blend. I've almost finished. I've been rationing it. It's absolutely gorgeous. It is absolutely amazing.
So that's a Kentish company called Blends for Friends, who was on the Scoff and Quaff show, which is on... it's a superior show. It's on 11
and they
to 12.
Sell flavoured teas.
They will actually tailor any tea you want. So I told them what Paul likes. And also, you can have a branded tea. So it's Blends for Friends. So if you've got a cafe or a restaurant, you can have it. Or you could have it as Robert Woods' tea.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Robert Woods' tea. Remind me afterwards. I'll give you his number.
Climbing experience tea.
You could.
How to
pep you up.
Blends
for Friends. Okay. But I'll give you his afterwards. If you grab me, I'll...
Alex Probyn, isn't it?
Yeah.
And Jules very kindly had some tea made specially for me for my birthday.
With his name on?
With my name on. Yeah. And I've got to tell you, it is the most gorgeous tea I've ever had. It is absolutely stonking. And, of course, it's loose leaf and all the rest of it. And I've got a little thing that you make loose leaf tea in for cups of one. And I eke it out by letting it dry and then using it again and then letting it dry and using it again just so I don't run out because I'm that tight.
He only gets it when he invites me round for his birthday, which is once a year.
Once a year, yeah. Cool. I'll tell you what, though. Shall we talk to Robert?
I think we should.
It's about time we should talk to Robert.
It's been dragging on a bit.
It is, yeah. We've nearly finished the show, so we might as well start talking to our guests. It's an absolute pleasure to welcome... back on the show, and I'll explain that in a minute, Robert Woods. Robert first came on the show back in the dark days when we were down on the marsh.
Yeah.
In a completely different context with a different business that he was involved in then. And then I had the pleasure of meeting Robert about 18 months or so ago, and we had a coffee, and Robert was telling me about a dream he had to build a business. So it's an absolute pleasure to welcome him back here now with that business up and running. Robert, welcome back on the show.
Thank you, Paul.
It's an absolute pleasure to see you. Why don't you kick off by telling everybody about the climbing experience and your journey to where you are now?
Okay, so the climbing experience is an indoor climbing centre in the middle of Maidstone. We opened on August the 17th this year.
Right.
It's an 18,000 square foot kind of two warehouses put together, so it's a big space.
Yeah.
And I first saw the unit in Maidstone probably in June of last year, so that's kind of over a year since we saw it.
Yep.
And probably 2 years since I've been trying to put the project together, basically.
What inspired you to look at doing this in the first place?
A couple of things, I think. I was a keen climber, keen mountaineer.
Right.
I've been running this IT and telephony business, as you know, for 15 years, and I was, maybe you could say, getting itchy feet, but just starting to think about doing something different.
Yep.
And my son went to a friend's party, an indoor climbing centre in Tunbridge Wells, and I thought, oh, that's interesting. Well, that sounds fun. Let's go along. So we went along, and in the car on the way back, I said to him, do you think maybe I could do something like that? And they thought that was a good idea, and it was kind of how it kicked off, really.
Wow. Fantastic, yeah. And climbing and indoor climbing and climbing walls are something that has taken off in the last few years. I saw something the other day. You might snap at me here and go, that's not pure climbing. Or but it's about to become an Olympic sport, which is speed climbing.
Well, there's three. It's interesting you mention that. It is about to become an Olympic sport next year, in the 2020 Olympics.
Yeah.
It's sort of been a bit of a while coming, and they've tried to squeeze a number of different things into one event, which some climbers are a little bit
I can imagine
frustrated with. But so there's three disciplines: speed climbing, lead climbing, and then bouldering, which is what we do, which is climbing without ropes.
Right.
So it's a little bit of a, you've got to be an all-rounder to to win the gold.
Oh, I see. So you have to, it's almost combined. Like a mini pentathlon. It's a half pentathlon.
Exactly that.
Okay. Because I saw a video of some of the speed climb. It was
it's extraordinary.
It's extraordinary. It was
what are they like, ants?
They just like wrap up a drain pipe.
It's like
a vroom. Yeah.
We have, it's not an Olympic size, but we have a speed climbing wall at the centre.
Wow.
And one of my colleagues can do it in less than 2 seconds. They're right. they're just like a monkey,
basically.
Well, you
see, I'm wondering if that's why Alan Saunders, the metal sculptor, didn't eat all of his cake.
Because he wants to
planning.
Yeah. Compete on
he's
the funnel.
Planning.
Yeah,
I think that's what's
happening. So it's interesting, and I think it's indicative of how climbing has grab the public's imagination, that they're going to include it at least
absolutely
as an Olympic sport,
yeah,
because it shows you that there's a big audience out there of not only participants but watchers as well.
And it's a market that's really growing. It's interesting that historically climbing was sort of quite elitist. Only a small, possibly slightly mad people did it outdoors in the wind and the rain.
Yeah.
And now there's a whole community or population of climbers that climb indoors that have never climbed outdoors and maybe never will.
Yeah.
So it's just taken on a different... I think bouldering, which is the climbing without ropes, is a factor to in relation to its growth, because you don't need... You know, when you're climbing outside, you need two people, obviously.
Yeah. Yeah.
You need ropes, you need harnesses, you need to know what you're doing.
Yeah.
With bouldering, you just come in with a pair of climbing shoes and some chalk and off you go.
Yeah,
so
how dangerous is that, climbing without a rope?
It's to a maximum height of about 4.5 metres.
Yeah, but you can hurt yourself falling down a couple of steps.
I'm not saying it's without risk, but you know, and you need to know what you're doing a little bit. You don't want to fall off and land on your head. But touch wood, we've had relatively few scrapes and bumps.
What your insurance is like.
Yeah, no, but it's not,
but cheap.
Yeah, but, you know, there are risks. I mean, if you saw the football at the weekend, Gomez, the Everton footballer, had a most horrendous injury. Pure accident, even though it was Spurs. Pure accident, terrible, terrible. They insist on showing you pictures of it afterwards, which is really horrible, of his ankle at the wrong angle. You can get hurt doing anything. You can get hurt walking across the street. As long as you put in place all of the precautions that you need, you can never have 100% safety at anything, can you? And I imagine it's a bit softer falling off a wall indoors than it is falling off the Matterhorn.
For sure. Yeah.
I'm thinking as well, it must be a really good focus for the mind. You know,
very
climbing.
Much so.
When you're climbing, you can't think about anything else
except
what you're doing. So tell us about that, how you're using that.
Well, I think it's one of the things that attracts the people who like climbing to it. Mm. It's very absorbing. It's a social sport, but it's very absorbing. But I think there are aspects of it that are helpful to people with mental illness or learning difficulties like Asperger's and things. Mm. It's not a market that we've particularly been able to promote. We've only been open a couple of months, but we would like to include in due course, maybe we could get GP referrals or that type
sure
of thing.
So let's kind of explore. You are very new and you've only opened, and I'm sure that as your business develops, kind of going different directions. But at the moment, what's the plan here? You get people that come and pay to climb and do slightly different activities. Is that, how does that work? Is it based on a per climb or a day?
So if you're talking about the climbing, there's two elements to the centre. One is what we call a fun wall.
Yep.
So you wear a harness and you have what we call an auto belay, which essentially lowers you to the ground if you fall off or get to the top and you want to come down. It goes up to 6 metres, and they are hour and a half slots, which includes a half an hour safety briefing. So you climb for an hour, and we charge a certain amount for that hourly slot, and you book. We have a maximum of 24 on the climbing wall at that time.
Yeah.
And then the rest of the centre is bouldering, which is climbing without ropes to a matting, and that you can pay, you can turn up and climb for £10, and you can climb all day if you want, or you can buy a membership, or you can buy a you know, 10-day pass for the price of 8, that kind of thing.
Fantastic. So let's deconstruct those.
Mm-hmm.
Presumably, the fun wall, you're going to offer, like, kids' parties and
correct.
Stuff like that.
Yep.
Yeah,
so, very popular.
Yeah, I'm sure they are, because kids are always looking for something different to
yeah,
do, aren't
exactly.
they?
Mm-hmm.
And what you find with those things is once they find it, then everybody in the class has their birthday at the same place.
Yeah.
When my kids were younger, it was paintballing.
Yeah.
Yeah, right. And the amount, you know, there's 30 kids in the class and we go to 30 paintballing parties a year. So you've got those kind of things. Do you do lessons, or are
yes.
you planning to do lessons?
Yes, we yep. do lessons.
Yep.
So if you want to come and boulder and you've never climbed before,
yep.
you do need to take what we call an induction,
yep.
which is an hour and a half, and it essentially is an introduction to climbing, but also the centre, how to get the most out of the centre and how to climb safely, because there are some risks.
Yeah, of course.
And then we have a lot of kids instructed courses. There's an award scheme called the National Indoor Bouldering Award Scheme,
right.
where you can achieve certain levels, mm. 1, 2, 3, 4. So the parents and the kids love that because it's a recognised award.
Yeah.
And their courses are term time, you know, linked to each term.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then we have adult private instruction, essentially.
Fantastic.
And presumably corporate as well. You could do corporate team building.
Yeah, this is a market that we haven't, well, we're not known for, so something that we're trying to grow. There's a few different, we have some meeting room space, we're trying to develop the kind of well-being or team building, staff motivation days. We have a fitness studio where we teach yoga and fitness classes, so we're trying to sort of promote those aspects of the business that people don't know us for.
Yeah, it's
interesting. Back in the day, I did a corporate event with my own business in the Peak District. And
right.
what we did is we arranged a number of different activities with different people, with different things. One of the things we did there was abseiling off a rock, which was interesting.
Reminds me of Spider-Man, that. Spider-Man.
Well, the beauty of being someone as big as me is that I get down pretty quickly.
You weren't big in those days.
I was. I wasn't quite as big as I am now, but I was still fairly big. Yeah, So, at what age can people start to do the fun wall, Robert?
So the fun wall is 4+.
Wow. Okay. Cool.
Yep. Lovely to start young because there's so many sports I wish I'd done when I was young. I just took up sailing. You know, at my age, it's ridiculous because you have to do a lot of kneeling and things.
Yeah, yeah.
And I think, why didn't I do this when I was 10 or something?
Yeah.
Because you bounce when you're 10, don't you?
Yeah. Well, it's like anything, isn't it? If you get exposure doing things, you might develop a lifelong learning. You might become a professional at it. You know, it's an Olympic sport, as we've just said. You know, if a 4-year-old goes, oh, I really like this, and they get committed to it and doing it, then you develop and grow. So I want to go back because one of the things we like to talk about on this show is people's journey mm-hmm. to a business, because it's not easy starting a business mm-hmm. and there's lots of pain on the way to doing it and lacks of money and all the rest of it. So can you, Robert, go over the journey that you went through from that day in the car talking to your son about should we do this to the day you opened the doors and said, we're here.
Yeah. There's a couple of things. It was a search for a premises.
Yeah.
And originally I had thought that Ashford was mm-hmm. the place for different reasons, brilliant links to motorway you know, by the railway links, etc. And it's a growing, happening town.
Yep.
So I was on the hunt for property. There's a couple of things about that. Landlords don't really like startups because they think, well, what if you run out of money in 4 months?
Yep.
Plus you've then got a planning permission issue, so it's mm-hmm. I forget the class, but if you're warehouse light industrial, you've then got to convert to leisure, etc. So there were two obstacles there. One of the other interesting things that happened to me was I'd connected with somebody on LinkedIn just because I was looking for, well, if I do this, who am I going to employ? Are there such people as climbing instructors, etc.? And I'd connected with this guy and he hadn't come back to me. And then it turned out he's actually my co-founder and business partner, and he's related. He's a distant blood relation to my wife.
Well, okay.
I know. So I'd connected with this guy, and then I got a phone call from my mother-in-law saying I was just at a wedding in somewhere or other, Staffordshire, and I was talking to this guy about what you were doing, and he said, oh, my sister's brother's cousin is a climbing instructor in Ashford, and he's been wanting to open this climbing centre for 10 years. So I got in touch with him, and so that was a... Because he's a climbing instructor, and so he's now my centre manager, and, you know... Doing this without him would have been even more challenging. In terms of the finance, actually, it wasn't as hard as I thought. The hard bit would be the finance, and finding a property would be relatively easy. It wasn't.
Right.
I think I went down a few cul-de-sacs with the property and sort of got to the end. They went, no, it's not going to work. So then I started saying, well, I need to cast the net a lot wider.
Sure. Yeah.
And then I've got options rather than me being...
Yeah.
So hence why we went to Maidstone, we went to Folkestone, etc. And in Maidstone, I found a landlord that was happy to talk to me and keen to do a deal.
Wow.
In terms of the finance, banks were really encouraging. Found two banks that were happy to lend to us at a relatively early stage. That was good. I did need some additional investment. You know, chatting to you about your network, etc. And then I happened to be introduced to someone. I think SEIS had a big impact.
Yeah, it does. Yeah.
And I got 25% funding from two investors.
Fantastic.
A little bit at the last minute, but you know,
that's how it works. That's how it works. Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah, that's brilliant. It's brilliant, and it's also useful information, because you're absolutely right. A lot of things look simple on paper, and we worry about difficult things, and quite often it can be the other way around.
Yeah.
Yeah. And premises are one of those really weird things, you know, because we talk a lot about high street failures and town centre failures, and we actually had a programme about it last week.
Yeah.
One of the problems in this country is our archaic planning laws.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, people just won't change anything.
Yeah.
And you just go, what is the matter with you? You know, it's not a big deal. Yeah, it's not the end of the world. Even if it all went wrong, changing it back is not a really big deal.
No.
It's a warehouse, for crying out loud.
Some of these properties are owned by
trusts.
You know, large international property funds that have their head office abroad.
Yeah.
They're so disconnected from what's happening on the ground that nothing happens.
It's crazy. Yeah. We're building on golf courses now. We've, you know, where I live in Whitstable, we've just built on Herne Bay Golf Course, you know, an estate of houses.
Mm-hmm.
We can do that. Surely we can, mix up a little bit.
Well, it's like the county cricket ground, isn't it? It's surrounded by houses around the outfield.
Yeah. And a Sainsbury's on there.
But I'm really, really pleased for you, Robert, because I know how passionate you were about this and how much blood and sweat and tears you put into getting this off the ground. And I'm amazed at actually how quickly you did it, you know, from when you talked to me about it to opening the doors.
Yeah.
It's a testament to the work that you've put in, and I think that's absolutely fabulous.
Thank you.
I think he was literally climbing the walls to do that.
There is a climbing centre in Shrewsbury called Climbing the Walls.
What's yours called, remind me?
The Climbing Experience.
The Climbing Experience, lovely name, I like that.
Yep. So I know it's early days yet. You've only been open a couple of months, but what's the plans? Global domination, franchising, you're going to move
into other... Sicily, so I thought maybe they need a climbing wall. We would like to open another couple. I think the Olympics is going to... Your climbing is growing, but the Olympics is going to, I think, going to make it, you know, a household activity.
Yeah.
And there are still relatively few in Kent. There are only two dedicated commercial climbing centres in Kent. So I would like to do one or two more.
Right.
I've got an opportunity in central London, which could be quite exciting. So I definitely... Now that, you know, I've sort of been through that experience and learned what works, but also more importantly what, you know, made some mistakes along the way.
Yeah.
I'd like to be able to use that experience to open at least another one or two.
Absolutely.
Probably with a similar vision and a similar modus operandi, because it works. We've got this kind of kids element, and then we can take young climbers on a journey through to more technical side of climbing, if you like.
I think you're absolutely right. I think the Olympics will have a huge impact. My eldest son, who's actually been doing some climbing over the weekend, but only onto the roof of his house because he blew a hole through the roof of his house. He lives in southwest France now.
Okay.
Yeah, but he was a hockey player.
Mm-hmm.
And back in the day, hockey was a minor sport that was had quite a large following, but nobody knew about it until Great Britain won the World Championships back in the 90s. And all of a sudden, when it, and then they did well at the Olympics, mm-hmm. and that hockey just took off. Jamie played for Canterbury, which is a big club in the National League. And all of a sudden, you got this influx of kids that all wanted to play hockey because they'd seen it on TV, they'd seen it on the Olympics. And I'm sure it will be the same with climbing when people see it, especially the videos of speed climbing are just stupid, aren't they? They're just stupid.
Yeah. It's, as a visual thing, because the bouldering is quite technical, and if you haven't done it, you might not understand. But as a visual spectacle, the speed climbing
it's just
rat
up a drain pipe, isn't it?
Yeah.
stuff. So I'm sure it's going to really grab people's imagination. And just coming down to the practicalities of everyday business, having something for kids' parties or adult parties as well. That's different. Is always useful because as parents, we run out of ideas after a while. You know, we've done other stuff. We've done the face painting and we've done the paintballing and go kart and all the rest of it. We're always looking for something different.
The brilliant way to focus the mind, I think.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, for older people, older kids.
Robert, much appreciation for all you've done with us. If people want to find out more about the climbing experience in Maidstone, how can they do that?
Well, we've got a website, theclimbingexperience.co.uk. We are on Facebook. Don't ask me the not my strong point. Facebook and Instagram, but you can at the Climbing Experience. I think.
Yeah.
Obviously, you can call us. The best thing, really, if you're of a mind, is to drop in. Happy to show anyone around, show them the centre, and I think being there helps you get a sense of what we offer and what the space is
about. Whereabouts in Maidstone are you?
We are on St Peter Street, which is just the other side of the river, if that makes sense.
Absolutely, So you're on the London side of the river, St Peter Street, a nice big site there.
Mm-hmm.
You can see it as you go over on the train on the bridge.
You can,
So drop in, go and have a look.
Yeah, very happy to welcome anyone who wants to come and have a look.
What's your opening times?
We open 10 till 10 Monday to Friday, 10 till 7 Saturdays and Sundays.
Fantastic. Pop in St Peter Street in Maidstone. Have a look at the Climbing Experience Maidstone. Robert, thank you so much for that.
Thank you.
And we wish you continued success with a fabulous project. We're going to join the Channel Radio newsroom in a moment. I've got one tweet that I need to read out. It's from Networkers Networking. Hi, Vanilla Web, Jules, Business Bunker. We are excited to announce that we will be launching a new series of events in 2020, helping business owners with their networking. We're also hosting a Networkers Networking event Christmas special on the 11th of December this year. And it says, see below, save the date. Three fabulous speakers, a panel discussion about goals and plans, fun, festive networking, games and lots of networking. It's from 10 a.m. till 3. It's a mystery venue in Kent to be disclosed nearer the time, and booking opens on Friday. If you follow NNE events, hold on, NNE, I should know this. Oh, I've lost it now. NNE events number one on the Twitter, you will see when they open the booking. Cool. So do come along to that. I'm going to be going to it and it's going to be fun. We're going to join the Channel Radio newsroom, and then when we come back,